Wherefore I will be the sole lord and possessor of all, or of none at all, of Mansoul. Then Mr. Loath to Stoop said again, Sir, behold the condescension of my master. He says that he will be content if he may but have assigned to him some place in Mansoul as a place to live privately in, and you shall be lord of all the rest. Then said the Golden Prince, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and of all that he giveth me I will lose nothing, no, not a hoof nor a hair. I will not therefore grant him, no, not the least corner of Mansoul to dwell in. I will have all to myself. Then Mr. Loath to Stoop said again, But, sir, suppose that my lord should resign the whole town to you, only with this proviso, that he sometimes, when he comes into this country, may, for old acquaintance sake, be entertained as a wayfaring man for 2 days, or 10 days, or a month or so. May not this small matter be granted? Then said Emmanuel, No, he came as a wayfaring man to David, nor did he stay long with him, and yet it had like to have cost David his soul. I will not consent that he ever should have any harbor more there. Then said Mr. Loath to Stoop, Sir, you seem to be very hard. Suppose my master should yield to all that your lordship hath said, provided that his friends and kindred in Mansoul may have liberty to trade in the town and to enjoy their present dwellings. May not that be granted, sir? Then said Emmanuel, No, that is contrary to my father's will, for all and all manner of Diabolonians that now are, or that at any time shall be found in Mansoul, shall not only lose their lands and liberties, but also their lives. Then said Mr. Loath to Stoop again, But, sir, may not my master and great lord, by letters, by passengers, by accidental opportunities, and the like, maintain, if he shall deliver up all unto thee, some kind of old friendship with Mansoul? Emmanuel answered, No, by no means. For as much as any such fellowship, friendship, intimacy, or acquaintance, in what way, sort, or mode soever maintained, will tend to the corrupting of man's soul, the alienating of their affections from me, and the endangering of their peace with my father. Mr. Loath to Stoop yet added further, saying, But great sir, since my master hath many friends, and those that are dear to him in man's soul, may he not, if he shall depart from them, even of his bounty and good nature, bestow upon them as he sees fit some tokens of his love and kindness that he had for them, to the end that Mansoul, when he is gone, may look upon such tokens of kindness once received from their old friend, and remember him who was once their king, and the merry times that they sometimes enjoyed one with another, while he and they lived in peace together. Then said Emmanuel, No, for if Mansoul come to be mine, I shall not admit of, nor consent, that there should be the least scrap, shred, or dust of Diabolus left behind, as tokens of gifts bestowed upon any in Mansoul, thereby to call to remembrance the horrible communion that was betwixt them and him. Well, sir, said Mr. Loath to Stoop, I have one thing more to propound, and then I am got to the end of my commission. Suppose that when my master is gone from Mansoul, any that shall yet live in the town should have such business of high concerns to do, that if they be neglected, the party shall be undone. And suppose, sir, that nobody can help in that case so well as my master and lord. May not now my master be sent for upon so urgent an occasion as this? Or, if he may not be admitted into the town, may not he and the person concerned meet in some of the villages near Mansoul, and there lay their heads together and there consult of matters? This was the last of those ensnaring propositions that Mr. Loath to Stoop had to propound to Emmanuel on behalf of his master, Diabolus. But Emmanuel would not grant it, for he said, There can be no case, or thing, or matter fall out in Mansoul. When thy master shall be gone, that may not be solved by my father. Besides, it will be a great disparagement to my father's wisdom and skill to admit any from Mansell to go out to Diabolus for advice, when they are bid before in everything by prayer and supplication to let their requests be made known to my father. Further, this, should it be granted, would be to grant that a door should be set open for Diabolus, and the Diabolonians in Mansell to hatch and plot, and bring to pass treasonable designs to the grief of my father and me, and to the utter destruction of Mansell. When Mr. Loth to Stoop had heard this answer, he took his leave of Emmanuel and departed, saying that he would carry word to his master concerning this whole affair. So he departed and came to Diabolus, to Mansell, and told him the whole of the matter, and how Emmanuel would not admit, no, not by any means, that he, when he was once gone out, should forever have anything more to do either in or with any that are of the town of Mansell. When Mansell and Diabolus had heard this relation of things, they with one consent concluded to use their best endeavor to keep Emmanuel out of Mansell, and sent old Ill Paws, of whom you have heard before, to tell the prince and his captain so. So the old gentleman came up to the top of Eargate and called to the camp for a hearing, who, when they gave audience, he said, I have in commandment from my high lord to bid you tell it to your prince Emmanuel, that Mansell and their king are resolved to stand and fall together, and that it is in vain for your prince to think of ever having Mansell in his hand unless he can take it by force. So some went and told to Emmanuel what old Ill Paws, a Diabolonian in Mansell, had said. Then said the prince, I must try the power of my sword, for I will not, for all the rebellions and repulses that Mansell has made against me, raise my siege and depart, but will assuredly take my Mansell and deliver it from the hand of her enemy. And with that he gave out a commandment that Captain Bonerges, Captain Conviction, Captain Judgment, and Captain Execution should forthwith march up to Eargate with trumpets sounding, colors flying, and with shouting for the battle. Also he would that Captain Credence should join himself with them. Emmanuel, moreover, gave order that Captain Good Hope and Captain Charity should draw themselves up before Eygate. He bid also that the rest of his captains and their men should place themselves for the best of their advantage against the enemy round the town, and all was done as he had commanded. Then he bid that the word should be given forth, and the word was at that time Emmanuel. Then was an alarm sounded, and the battering rams were played, and the slings did whirl stones into the town amain, and thus the battle began. Now Diabolus himself did manage the townsmen of the war, and that at every gate. Wherefore their resistance was the more forcible, hellish, and offensive to Emmanuel. Thus was the good prince engaged and entertained by Diabolus and Mansell for several days together, and a sight worth seeing it was to behold how the captains of Shaddai behaved themselves in this war. And first, for Captain Bonerges, not to undervalue the rest, he made three most fierce assaults, one after another, upon Eargate, to the shaking of the posts thereof. Captain Conviction, he also made up as fast with Bonerges as possibly he could, and both discerning that the gate began to yield, they commanded that the ram should still be played against it. Now Captain Conviction, going up very near to the gate, was with great force driven back, and received three wounds in the mouth, and those that rode reformades, they went about to encourage the captains. For the valor of the two captains made mention of before, the prince sent to them to his pavilion, and commanded that a while they should rest themselves, and that with somewhat they should be refreshed. Care also was taken for Captain Conviction that he should be healed of his wounds. The prince also gave to each of them a chain of gold, and bid them yet be of good courage. Nor did Captain Good Hope nor Captain Charity come behind in this most desperate fight, for they so well did behave themselves at Eygate that they had almost broken it quite open. These also had a reward from their prince, as also had the rest of the captains, because they did valiantly round about the town. In this engagement, several of the officers of Diabolus were slain, and some of the townsmen wounded. For the officers, there was one captain Boasting slain. This Boasting thought that nobody could have shaken the posts of Irgate, nor have shaken the heart of Diabolus. Next to him there was one captain Secure slain. This Secure used to say that the blind and lame and mansoul were able to keep the gates of the town against Emmanuel's army. This captain Secure did Captain Conviction cleave down the head with a two-handed sword when he received himself three wounds in his mouth. Besides these, there was one Captain Bragman, a very desperate fellow, and he was captain over a band of those that threw firebrands, arrows, and death. He also received, by the hand of Captain Goodhope at Eygate, a mortal wound in the breast. There was, moreover, one Mr. Feeling, but he was no captain, but a great stickler to encourage Mansoul to rebellion. He received a wound in the eye by the hand of one of Bonerges' soldiers, and had, by the captain himself, been slain, but that he made a sudden retreat. But I never saw Will be Will so daunted in all my life. He was not able to do as he was wont, and some say that he also received a wound in the leg, and that some of the men in the prince's army have certainly seen him limp as he afterwards walked on the wall. I shall not give you a particular account of the names of the soldiers that were slain in the town, for they were maimed and wounded and slain. For when they saw that the posts of Irgate did shake, and Eygate was well nigh broken open also, and also that their captains were slain, this took away the hearts of many of the Diabolonians, and they fell also by the force of the shot that were sent by the golden slings into the midst of the town of Mansoul. Of the townsmen there was one, Love No Good. He was a townsman, but a Diabolonian, and he also received his mortal wound in Mansoul, but he died not very soon. Mr. Ilpaws also, who was the man that came along with Diabolus when at first he attempted the taking of Mansoul, he also received a grievous wound in the head. Some say that his brain pan was cracked. This I have taken notice of, that he was never after this able to do that mischief to Mansoul as he had done in times past. Also, Old Prejudice and Mr. Anything fled. Now when the battle was over, the prince commanded that yet once more the white flag should be set upon Mount Gracious in sight of the town of Mansoul, to show that yet Emmanuel had grace for the wretched town of Mansoul. When Diabolus saw the white flag hung out again, and knowing that it was not for him, but for Mansoul, he cast in his mind to play another prank, to wit, to see if Emmanuel would raise his siege and be gone upon promise of reformation. So he comes down to the gate one evening, a good while after the sun was gone down, and calls to speak with Emmanuel, who presently came down to the gate. And Diabolus saith unto him, For as much as thou makest it appear by thy white flag that thou art wholly given to peace and quiet, I thought meet to acquaint thee that we are ready to accept thereof upon terms which thou mayest admit. I know that thou art given to devotion, and that holiness pleaseth thee. Yea, that thy great end in making a war upon Mansoul is that it may be a holy habitation. Well, draw off thy forces from the town, and I will bend Mansoul to thy bow. First I will lay down all acts of hostility against thee, and will be willing to become thy deputy, and will, as I have formerly been against thee, now serve thee in the town of Mansoul. And, more particularly, 1. I will persuade Mansoul to receive thee for their lord, and I know that they will do it the sooner when they shall understand that I am thy deputy. 2. I will show them wherein they have erred, and that transgression stands in the way to life. 3. I will show them the holy law into which they must conform, but even that which they have broken. for I will press upon them the necessity of a reformation according to thy law. 5. And moreover, that none of these things may fail, I myself, at my own proper cost and charge, will set up and maintain a sufficient ministry besides lectures in Mansoul. 6. Thou shalt receive as a token of our subjection to thee, year by year, what thou shalt think fit to lay and levy upon us in token of our subjection to thee. Then said Emmanuel to him, O full of deceit, how movable are thy ways! How often hast thou changed and rechanged! If so be thou mightest still keep possession of my mansoul, though, as has been plainly declared before, I am the right heir thereof. Often hast thou made thy proposals already, nor is this last a whit better than they. And failing to deceive when thou showest thyself in thy black, thou hast now transformed thyself into an angel of light, and wouldst to deceive be now as a minister of righteousness. But know thou, O Diabolus, that nothing must be regarded that thou canst propound, for nothing is done by thee but to deceive. Thou neither hast conscience to God, nor love to the town of Mansoul. Whence, then, should these thy sayings arise, but from sinful craft and deceit? He that can of list and will propound what he pleases, and that wherewith he may destroy them that believe him, is to be abandoned with all that he shall say. But if righteousness be such a beauty spot in thine eyes now, how is it that wickedness was so closely stuck to by thee before? But this is by the by. Thou talkest now of a reformation in Mansoul, and that thou thyself, if I please, will be at the head of that reformation, all the while knowing that the greatest proficiency that man can make in the law and the righteousness thereof will amount to no more for the taking away of the curse from Mansoul than just nothing at all for a law being broken by Mansoul that had before, upon a supposition of the breach thereof, a curse pronounced against him for it of God, can never, by his obeying of the law, deliver himself therefrom, to say nothing of what a reformation is like to be set up in Mansoul when the devil is become corrector of vice. Thou knowest that all that thou hast now said in this matter is nothing but guile and deceit, and is, as it was the first, so it is the last card that thou hast to play. Many there be that do so discern thee when thou showest them thy cloven foot. But in thy white, thy light, and in thy transformation, thou art seen but of a few. But thou shalt not do thus with my mansoul, O Diabolus, for I do still love my mansoul. Besides, I am not come to put mansoul upon works to live thereby, should I do so. I should be like unto thee, but I am come that by me, and by what I have and shall do for mansoul, they may to my Father be reconciled, though by their sin they have provoked him to anger, and though by the law they cannot obtain mercy. Thou talkest of subjecting of this town to good, when none desireth it at thy hands. I am sent by my Father to possess it myself, and to guide it by the skillfulness of my hands into such a conformity to him as shall be pleasing in his sight. I will therefore possess it myself. I will dispossess and cast thee out. I will set up mine own standard in the midst of them. I will also govern them by new laws, new officers, new motives, and new ways. Yea, I will pull down this town and build it again, and it shall be as though it had not been, and it shall then be the glory of the whole universe. When Diabolus heard this and perceived that he was discovered in all his deceits, he was confounded and utterly put to a nonplus. But having in himself the fountain of iniquity, rage, and malice against both Shaddai and his son,